What?
Do you love the fun loving criminals? I sure do.
I mean, I guess better than the regular criminals who have no sense of humor.
Let's just listen to that song, The Fun Loving Criminal, the titular song on their debut album, The Fun Loving Criminals.
Is that what we do here on the Backpack Show? Listen to songs?
I wish it was. Welcome to the Backpack Show, everybody, where we listen to songs, mostly from the 90s and the aughts, the worst word ever created by humanity. Oh, sorry. What do we do on the Backpack Show?
We bring you business success insights from unusual places. That's what we do on the Backpack Show, Janice.
That's what we do. Hi, Janice. Good to see you. Thank you for being part of the show.
Did you cover pronunciation with our guest today?
We didn't, so I don't even know. You'll just say Shelly.
Okay. Oh my God. Entrepreneurship for All, known as E for All, is here to talk about inclusive entrepreneurship and also fizzy water and wrestling.
Wrestling.
And owning a gift shop and a lot of other things.
I cannot believe I forgot to ask, how does our guest, our one and only guest for the night, say their last name?
I don't know.
Welcome to the Backpack Show with your hosts, Chris Brogan and Carrie Gargone. Boom shakalaka.
Hey, Kate's here.
Hi, Kate. Good to see you again. It seems like only a few hours ago that we were hanging out. And there's Leslie. Hi, Leslie. Good to see you. Happy whichever day of the week this one would be, Tuesday.
Oh, my gosh. It's only Tuesday. It feels like so much later.
I'll be okay.
Aww.
Let's talk to Shelly. We have entrepreneurship for all to talk about. But let's, you know, first get to the most timely and most important question of all. Are you going to push your button so I can push my button?
That's the question. That's a sucky question.
Shelly, fix it for us. Cardews? Carduos?
It's Cardews.
So I would have guessed that. Math,
which is heavily Portuguese. People think I've spelt my name wrong all the time and assume it's Cardoza, but it is Cardews. It's actually Syrian.
Wow. It's a Syrian name.
Well, I don't like guessing because you just never know. But look, you have a fan here already.
Anne Marie's here. She's a mentor with E for All.
That's so exciting. And Mason's here.
It's a big show today. So sorry, I forgot the like kind of pretty important detail of like, how do you say your name?
That's okay. I didn't ask either. So it's much my fault
this year. Run this show before.
I don't know.
So listen,
we just roll up and what happens.
What kind of entrepreneurship are we talking about? Are we talking about every single kind of way you can do this? Like, are there software companies here? Are we talking like, you know, I'm pretty good at making bagels, so I'm going to make bigger bagels. Like, what's the process? Who goes through those doors?
So really in the name Entrepreneurship for All, we help businesses of all sizes, all different industries, anybody that's really in the startup phase. So we have people that are solo entrepreneurs, starting micro businesses, and some are technology and looking to scale, where some programs like ours are very specific and they only will help technology or scalable businesses. We're here for everybody. So yeah, if you're making brownies out of your kitchen and you want to get them out of your kitchen, we'll help. We help a lot of service businesses, all types.
So you've got various things you do. There's a business accelerator. There's ways to teach people pitching. Of course, like everybody this whole last year, you figured out how to do virtual stuff. What's the average ask in any given day? And how much of your work is marketing to get more people into the project versus are you just overwhelmed with demand?
That's a great question. Even though we're virtual, our programs are still very community-based. So in each of our communities, we have local staff that do outreach and work with partner organizations. So there's always the need for outreach because a lot of the entrepreneurs that come to us, they don't call themselves entrepreneurs at all. So if you just put a call out to say, hey, looking for entrepreneurs, they may look at it that they're, you know, working on a project or something else. So really building the trust in the communities is huge, but the demand is definitely higher than what we can handle, especially when COVID hit, we weren't sure what was going to happen. You know, there's obviously businesses in our own cities were struggling. So we were kind of paused for a moment and said, hold on, we're here. We are helping new businesses and people are struggling. But we found is a lot of people had to shift careers. So we're seeing that the demand has just continued to grow.
With regards to the, I'm sorry, Carrie. No, cool. With regards to the kinds of community outreach you're doing, is it one of those scenarios? I don't know. I was thinking about the fact that, so town planners, I always thought they planned a town, but what they really do is they just kind of help you understand what's going on. So like, wow. If there's, I live in a really, really small town. There's five.
You think somebody planned that?
There's five nail shops.
They're like, let's make a town 2 miles by 2 miles with one pizza shop and like one place to get bagels.
Yeah. So instead of that, there's like 86 pizza shops and five nail shops. So what I'm wondering is part of what you do for E for All kind of giving people ideas on, hey, you know, it'd be kind of cool in this neighborhood, or are you not allowed to do that?
We don't really give people ideas. They normally come to us with an idea and then we help them mold it. And we may say to them when they come to us, hey, there's already so many pizza shops. Do you think that need is there? But we don't, I honestly feel like there are so many ideas out there. It's really finding the people that are going to execute it.
I want somebody to start a coffee shop and nail bar like in one, so I could just get all my stuff done at once. And if it had like a dry cleaner in the same building, I'd be happy. Like just put everything in one place. There's actually like one stop, right? Why does nobody do that? Probably because of the chemicals, but you know, yeah. Whatever. That's their problem. Somebody else could fix that. I just come to you with the idea, right? You help me make it happen. So this is for. So tell me the origin story of this. So how did it start out? Like, who is the first person to say we need to give people help? 10 years
ago. Desh Deshpande, actually North Andover. That's where I believe, Chris, you said you lived there at some point. Desh is a very successful entrepreneur, but when he first came to this country, he tried a handful of things and they didn't work. And when he found his success in entrepreneurship, he realized that there's a strong demand and strong need for new businesses and entrepreneurs in mid-sized cities. So he was in North Andover and he looked to towns like Lowell and Lawrence, which were higher immigrant populations, and said, you know, these are the people that they see the problems in the community. They may know how to fix the problems of the community. They just don't have the tools to start a business and they may not have the social capital. And so there was a few years of experimenting. It was originally called the Merrimack Valley Sandbox, eventually became E4All. And then I was hired in 2015 to open our first expansion site in the New Bedford Fall River area. So at that time, we had one program in English in Lowell, one in Spanish in Lawrence. And then I was hired at that time to just help it expand. And we're now up to 13 sites, and about half of those also offering Spanish language programming as well.
Have you gotten into other languages? Yeah, I was going to say other languages.
We would love to. We see the need for it. We just aren't prepared at this very moment. We have built our own custom software. And I wish I had a better answer for that. It is definitely on the list.
So you built your own. So there was like nothing you could get off the shelf that would do what you needed it to do.
You would think so. But the way that we are able to, so every entrepreneur that gets into our program, they're matched with a team of three mentors. So we've built this really cool algorithm that can match people based on their schedule of availability and how much they want to work with each other. So there are some things off the shelf that maybe we could do some applications, but we're able to actually see the progress, and anybody that mentors, we can see any team that they mentored for, really connects everybody together.
So you had a couple of comments. Janice really likes my idea. Thank you. I think it's like a really good idea. Elizabeth wants a nail shop that can do her dog's nails too. Just don't get them confused, I guess. And Leslie says, I live in a small town, no pizza place, no wow. nail shop, no coffee shop. Well, I guess we know what shape your nails are in, Leslie.
No coffee shop. That is
no judgment. Wild. Yeah. So you must just drive to a neighboring town. By neighboring, I mean anywhere within 15 miles. I would drive for it. Oh, you're muted, Chris. I mean, normally I'm fine with that, but...
You know, where Carrie just made that pitch, one of the things I know that you do at E4All is that you do pitch contests. So if Carrie wanted the opportunity to win $1,000, what kind of information do you think you'd give her to kind of tighten up her pitch for that shop that she wants?
So we run a workshop for anybody that applies to it. Well, first of all, hold on, let me start over. If Carrie were to apply, she would get feedback on her application. So what we find really helpful is that a lot of people that have ideas have a hard time getting unbiased feedback. Either you're telling your friends and they're just rooting for you, or maybe your friends are risk averse and they're like, don't do that. That's crazy. So first and foremost, we'll give some, we have volunteers that provide feedback without knowing name, gender, age, anything. Then if accepted to participate, we do a workshop, which will go over tips of like how to talk about your business or how to talk about your idea. Whether that is in just even presenting skills or just how to formulate it into a story.
I got this. I mean, really, who wouldn't want to be able to get coffee and get their nails done and have their dry cleaning done at the same time?
Great idea.
Right? It like sells itself. You can have that one for free. But just put Chris Brogan's name on the pitch. When
it gets there you go. Well, she just said the pitches are blind, so.
I know, but you know, I don't want it blind. I want everybody to think that that was your idea and that you're like really passionate about doing nails.
I'm a big fan of nails. I think they need to be done. Nails must be done in this lifetime.
Oh, for Pete's sake. So we actually found you, Shelley, on Twitter because Matt Medeiros said, he replied to a tweet where I was like, hey, we need some cool guests. He said, you know, you need to talk to Shelley Cardews about fizzy water and wrestling and entrepreneurship. And we're like, the what? We said, okay, I guess we're doing this.
Well, let's just start off with the first question. Are you a polar girl or is it just all fizzy waters? What's the plan?
Listen, I am not, I don't have any brand loyalty. I like polar. I like Waterloo. Right now I'm drinking Ugly.
This is how are you liking
seltzer.
It?
Very good. I like bubbly. I like Aha. The only one that I hate is Poland Springs. Like they make a great flat water, but their seltzer is just not good. But yeah, I love seltzer. I will try every kind there is. I often do video taste testing of them.
Nice.
To let people know.
Does that include the seasonal polars, like that one that was sort of like champagne a couple years ago? Do you have that one?
Yes. I don't always love the ones that are the fake alcohol. Mm. But the best new seasonal is definitely the pink summer iced tea from Polar. That's a good one.
Wow. I'm going to run out and get that now.
So I feel like somebody should pitch you a new fizzy water business.
Yeah. I mean, I do love E for All, but if I could get a job that was just like matching outfits to cans of seltzer and talking about seltzer, like that would be a dream.
Why not? Need your own
seltzer? Yeah. You need your own seltzer like channel.
Yeah. Teach me the tricks. I just need to get on YouTube.
I think for sure. I think, look, you already have the set. Look at that background. That's absolutely perfect.
Hey, you're on YouTube right now. Shh. Welcome to YouTube. What outfit would you pair with that ugly one? That ugly one.
I know. This one didn't really match well. I guess a couple of my nails match it. But
you're like, you'd get a potato sack because this is ugly water.
Shelley Seltzer says Anne-Marie. I like it. So it's Anne-Marie and Von-Marie. I feel like I have a theme here.
And Von Marie also mentors and works for E4All and is an alumni. We have some great E4All support in
there. Wait, so that means she launched her entrepreneurial business? I guess we'll have to figure out what that is at some point.
Yeah. Let's get her. Get in here.
Von Marie, get on the show.
Send you the link. Get on the show right now.
But here's, hang on a second. I almost never, ever get to use this graphic and I get to use this. Ready?
And this question comes all the way from the second stall, the men's room at the Home Depot, just outside of Lansing. You know, I've never been able to locate a restroom at the Home Depot. Not a once. I just go in the drywall aisle. No one's around.
You like wrestling, but not necessarily the famous wrestling that you'd see on TV with, like, let's say Triple H. what kind of wrestling are you into and how do you even find out about it?
So I'm really into independent pro wrestling, which a lot of people are confused by. So, because when I say I'm into wrestling, they'll start talking about people on WWE and I'm familiar with them, but I don't really watch it. So I first found out about it, I don't know, I did a little bit of detective work to ask if there was any in the area and went to a VFW, and it was definitely some low budget wrestling. And the first time my sister and I went, we were a little bit like, what the heck's going on here? And by the second time we were like so into it. And then I kind of graduated up. So I'm a big fan of a promotion called Beyond Wrestling that it does shows in Worcester. They have wrestlers that come from all over the country and some are more like comedy characters. Some are more, high flying athletes. Some are more into the violent stuff, which I don't love. but it's great. Some of these wrestlers do end up getting signed to WWE, but a lot of them, this is what they want to do. They actually, they're passionate more about the independent scene. So it's kind of like with music or comedy or anything where you have the ones that like everybody knows because it's on TV or at a big stadium, and you have some of these smaller shows. But it's a blast. It's such a mix of the comedy, the theater, the athleticism, the costumes, the names, everything about it is so cool. When you watch WWE, it's kind of like so much about the story and a little bit about wrestling. When you go to some of these independent shows, you see a lot of really good wrestling. And then, you know, the story's there, but it's a lot of fun. And the best part is you can just scream. You just like yell and cheer. Everybody's yelling and cheering. It's a blast.
You can't scream like regularly, like at E for All. You can't just scream.
I mean, here and there. we're chanting, I think.
When the pitch is really good.
Yeah.
So what do you go to local events, like the same ones? Do you get to know the people who kind of are on that circuit, or do you meet new?
Oh yeah, you definitely get to know the wrestlers. Some of them I would know personally, some more just as a fan. Yeah, it's a blast. I have a bunch of wrestling t-shirts. My sister used to collect like the signed autographs. And when we found Beyond Wrestling, we really, I don't know, people are from all different backgrounds. I feel like when we first started going to VFW wrestling, people were kind of questioning, like, who are you? Where are your children? Are you here to sleep with the wrestlers? Like, they weren't really used to women just like dressed up going to wrestling.
Being into it,
we were a little out of place. But pre-COVID, I was able to live one of my dreams, which was to do some wrestling announcing.
Oh, cool.
So there are like, it's a lockdown on people that are announcers in this area. So it's not like I was able to do a whole show, but I was able to go out and like announce a match and kind of mess around with
do a demo
managers.
For us.
Left.
Do a demo. Yeah, I want to hear what you sound like as an announcer. Let's do
Introducing
this.
Introducing in the corner to my left, Kerry from Nashville, Tennessee.
Woo! You're going down like a bag of hammers, Brogan.
Perfect.
Great.
I like it. So do you listen to the Wrestling Mayhem podcast by any chance? Do you even know what that show is?
I don't, but I'd love to check it out.
They're on episode 766. Mike Sorg and a whole crazy group of people based out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania originally. All independent backyard wrestling for the most part. So I just thought I'd share that one with you.
I'll check it out.
Let's go back to entrepreneurship for a second, because this question sounds like it's one of those asking for a friend, but you totally know the friend. Robert Collins says, as the world has moved towards nostalgia, moments of comfort and retro pop culture touchstones during the pandemic, do you feel there's an E for All business opportunity there? This, if somebody knew a lot about nostalgia and pop culture and retro stuff and wanted to kind of find a way to build a business around that, what would you instruct that very willing person?
Yeah, I mean, I would want to have a conversation. It's a little hard with the chat, but I would say, you know, try to find out a little bit more. Like, how would they want to interact with people? I mean, I think the concept for sure, but it's, you know, would it be something like a YouTube show? Would it be a website?
Let's assume they're socially awkward, but in like a really adorable way. Go from there.
I mean, maybe they put out different like quizzes through websites or something like that. I mean, a lot of people, when they think I'm going to start a business, they do immediately think like, I'm going to open a store, I'm going to open a shop. And, you know, for people in the early stage of something like that, it's kind of like, how can you first build the community around it? So, you know, who is it that you're trying to reach? I mean, I do think a lot of people are very, you know, you see it shared all the time on social media about nostalgia, but could there be one place that people go to? I think it's an interesting concept. And Robert, we should keep talking.
Mm-hmm. Matt says, woo, Shelly. I want to open and build a community. Well, Bob, details.
Mighty Networks, yeah. Baby. Amen. Have a nice day.
Oh, that's it, huh? You're like, $500, please.
Yep. We're here with Sally Carduce, by the way, eforall.org. We're learning about entrepreneurship, fizzy water, wrestling, and more. There's so much to plumb in all this. There's so much to plumb in all this. Is there any tie-in? Do you think that there's businesses that should be around backyard, backstage wrestling, kind of lower level wrestling that haven't been invented yet? Is there a gap one of your entrepreneurs could make happen?
That's an interesting question, because a lot of independent wrestlers, they really are running their own business in a way. You know, they're working with promoters, but they're making their own merchandise. They're doing their social media. I do know of some people that are like kind of helping with the either design work for the wrestlers, or there's like different t-shirt companies that they use. That's a good question.
We had a wrestler on.
I'm going to stay up tonight thinking about that.
I'm actually thinking about, so we interviewed Ash Coyote, who's the director of a documentary called The Fandom about like the furry community. Mm. And they have like a whole, it's like an ecosystem, really. It's an economic community. It's an economy, basically, all by itself. They have artisans, people who make costumes, people who do art, all sorts of things. And they go to events and people sell their art. You can make a living as a member of this community. Completely self-contained. So
lots of people playing six figures. Yeah.
Yeah. So you could mirror that experience for the independent wrestling circuit, I would think. I mean, it depends how invested the community is, because the furry fandom is like very, very invested. But it sounds to me like there are diehard fans for independent wrestling too.
The last show that I went to, which was actually, I went to a show recently. It was my first show after COVID. And the guy I was sitting next to flew in from Indiana just for the show. So he normally watches it. There is a IWTV, like there, you know, you can pay $9.99 a month for all these independent wrestling shows. And so he's been watching it online for so long. And I mean, yeah, so there's definitely some fandom there for sure.
Wow. You used to run a gift shop, is that right? So you're bringing your experience as an entrepreneur to all of this too.
Yeah, when I first started working for E4All, my gift shop was really more of a seasonal shop. It started small as like a craft fair on weekends, and then it turned into I would go to an empty storefront between Thanksgiving and Christmas and sell locally handmade items, which was actually great. It was great for the artists and easy to do it in 1 month, but I had an opportunity to get a great location to do a year-round gift shop. So I did that for a few years. It just became a lot to work full-time. I had a manager there, but I'd be there on the weekends as well. But it definitely helped me, you know, understand the struggles that a lot of entrepreneurs face. And also when knowing when you should take opportunities, when maybe you shouldn't take opportunities. So I closed that a few years ago. But it was a great experience.
Your stats really speak for themselves. 70%+ women owned businesses, 58% people of color owned, 46% immigrant owned. Those are some big numbers. Are you seeking that, or is that by the nature of the places you've set up in, or is it a mix of both?
It's a mix of both. So, in Massachusetts, our mission statement actually started out as mid-sized cities. So at first we were in Lowell and Lawrence and New Bedford. For anybody that's familiar with Massachusetts, those are populations that are around 100,000 and majority are more immigrants than other towns. We then changed the mission statement to communities because we started to go into different regions, and we have found opportunities of being in neighborhoods of bigger cities as well. So it is a mix of where we are, but it also is in the outreach that we do. Like I said before, a lot of people aren't, like if you just put flyers out looking for entrepreneurs, a lot of people are not calling themselves that. Every now and then we get applications in that says like, I was doing a Google search for an accelerator program, but a lot of the people that we're serving, they're not necessarily like using terminology like that. So it is, we partner a lot with different organizations in the communities. We work together with other agencies that are helping startups in other ways, or even just like cultural groups.
Kate was asking if you are an accelerator as well.
Yes, we are an accelerator program.
There it is right there. The E4All accelerator program is a free, some amount of years program, 1 year program offered.
1 year.
Well, my camera is like right in the middle of the text, so I had to move it.
You read. You don't have to.
Also offered in Spanish, which is important. Mm-hmm. Leer en español. I never knew that was the phrase for offer. So I was just going to leer.
Boom. Paul Collins.
All right. Listen, Shelly, we have to take a quick break. We got to do some ad reads and all that sort of thing. So I'm going to put you back for a couple of minutes. Go get a fizzy water to replace your ugly water.
It might be that long. It'll be quick.
18 minutes. Hold tight. All right. Listen.
Not either.
It's going to be so long. You're not even going to forget where you were. Mm-mm. Listen. Today is launch day for Content Inc.
I ruined their graphics. Listen, back.
Today is launch day for Content Inc. Joe Polizzi.
Is that copy signed?
Better be. I don't know. Oh, there's a little card in the front. Oh, and just a crappy signature. Thanks, Joe.
What, compared to your signature? That's like work of art.
My books. No, I'm just saying, like, he just wrote his dumb name. I write like nice things in mine.
Wow. Thank you, sponsor Joe.
Thanks, sponsor Joe, for your money, but write more than your dumb name. That's because Joe's like got a lot more people to sign for. So Content Inc. was a sponsor. Thank you so much, Content Inc. Oh. Boop, 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 boop.
Bite that book, says Bob Collins.
Bite that book. I know, I bit that book. Hey, do you like audio podcasts? This show is so much better if you don't look at us. You could have Castos. Castos is our host.
I don't know about that. Anywhere that there's a podcast, I feel like it's probably equally as good.
I'm not clear. So listen, you can go and really enjoy this show because we're hosted by Castos. Thank you, Matt Medeiros. get your piece. Hey, did you want to have a .online domain? Well, you could. Yes. Just go get one. Superbrogan.me/online and then use the code Chris, all caps.
Hey, you can get
shelter.online. Oh my gosh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Superbrogan.me/StreamYard, who sponsors this show, because they're an incredible video. Ducks don't sound like that. Ducks sound just like that. Actually, here's the sound of a female duck saying, do you have any food for us today? Wah, wah, wah. They do it just like that.
That sounds like a really upset baby from Long Island.
You know. Hey, you know what else we're sponsored by? Presearch. You don't have to Google anymore. You don't have to have all your stuff covered by this evil search engine empire. You can go to presearch.com. It's decentralized. It's got this cool social currency thing going. You can use your Presearch coins, whatever they're called, dollar pre's or something, to stake out keywords that you want to own. So you could own seltzer. And every time you type seltzer, just go to Shelly's new YouTube show.
That's so cool. Yeah, hey. Cody's like, was that a duck? I'm like, Cody, I don't even know.
Okay, oh. Listen, are you... look, I don't have a show called Duck Dynasty. I have a show called Backpack. You want to hear me make a backpack sound?
Yeah.
Okay. We're sponsored by Nonfiction Research, Saving Americans. I'm not coming out. I'm going to just stay backstage. Americans from the news.com. This is one of our sponsors. They've given us money. 50% of Americans are frustrated with bias coming from both left side and right side.
Yeah, so like nonfiction research. Just tell me what happened.
Yeah. Saving Americans from the news.
Cody says, my dog ran when it happened. The duck. You upset the dog.
It's a mallard.
You upset Cody's dog.
It's a banded mallard.
Got any grapes? Do, do, do. Maybe some people don't know that song, but I have kids, so I do.
I feel like we're going off the rails like a crazy train.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
I'm adding Shelly.
Because the rest of the time we stay firmly on the rails.
Hi, Shelly. Welcome to our rails.
The show corners like it's on rails. We stay on the rails.
It's got positive
traction. We're okay. So did you see that we have a suggestion for your business? Shelter.
Shelter.
Go and get shelter.online.
I'll like have to use Presearch to see if that exists. I'm excited about this Presearch. I want to check that out.
It's pretty neato. Not only can you search a lot of things at that one site, but also it's if you log in, you start earning crypto coins just for searching for stuff. So
if you log in, but Chris didn't log in for the first like month he used it, so zero coin.
I gave away a month of valuable search engine
daily use.
And it turns out you search a lot, because once you decide to not go to the other search engine and you go to Presearch and you're like consciously doing it, you realize how often you reach for a search engine.
So now that's an interesting idea, Shelly. Let's talk about that. If somebody came to you and was like, guess what? I want to start a search engine. I imagine you might have some questions about that. Yeah. But, you know, this one was motivated because the founder, Colin Pape, had worked on a number of local websites like for specific communities, shopping in specific communities. And then Google came out with like a similar offering. And so they manually buried all the listings for these local websites on like page 8 of the results. And so all these local businesses that were ranking really well, all of a sudden everything tanked. And he was like, forget that, I'm going to start my own. But if somebody came to you with an idea for a search engine or something else like that, you know, where there's a lot of really major players, how would you help them make, like, find their niche or make that a viable business?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I do think it would be kind of finding out, like you said, what is the need that they're trying to solve, which you answered that. I'd also want to know what kind of team that they have working with them. I think, you know, I mean, our tagline is turning dreams into businesses, and I'd never want to be known as a dream crusher, but we do need people to understand that, like, it's good that Shark Tank's out there and it gets people thinking, but some people think, oh, I have a good idea. Somebody's going to pay for it and do all the work. So a lot of times when talking about an idea that may be something that's like, oh, that sounds really big, it's really trying to figure out, like, what are they committed to? This is where the combination of the classes and the three mentors can really help them pivot and turn throughout it. But we're really looking for somebody that is going to do something and not just trying to have an idea that somebody else will pay for and do the work, because that's just not that realistic.
So you got one vote for best background so far.
Oh, wow.
Let's assume that doesn't include mine. Did you make those behind you, the decorations?
No, I got them at some point. I decorated once for Valentine's, and then I was like, you know what? It's Valentine's all the time, and I just left them up.
I love that. I don't know what holiday I would pick. Maybe like Arbor Day. I want something nobody will see coming. I got to be different. Shake your head at me, Dad.
Okay.
When the pandemic first happened, though, there were some moments where I had some like professional meetings, and I was like, I don't have a blank wall in this house. Yeah. So I've had to get somewhat creative, but luckily most people like it.
But good for you for not putting up one of those virtual backgrounds that looks janky and like, you know, looks like you're being held hostage somewhere.
Yeah.
I was on a meeting today and there were about 171 people on it, and most of them had virtual backgrounds. And I was like, does anyone think these are interesting?
It's just weird when somebody has like long hair and they move and like the background sort of glitches, and I don't know.
That's my problem just, with it is it shapes my hair weird, and I don't want that.
And you have dynamite hair too. Yeah. Really nice hair. We've seen it in your team photo on the E for All page. Damn nice hair. Don't
Let's
hide
just
that
go,
kind
shall
of
we? I hope your mentor colleagues are still watching. So look at this group of people, by the way. Wonderful looking team. They're all very, I said it looks like they're going to plan a heist. It's like that kind of a movie.
I don't know.
And you walk your way through all these people, and there's some, look, Ike's a handsome looking man. Look at him. So you just kind of, Jeremiah, like I would buy something from him. You just keep going. You keep going. And you're like, does Shelly even really work here? Did she fake this? We want to know what Margie's tattoo says. Someone get back to us on that. Shh, we did. And look.
Come on.
Exciting, right? And new.
You're like, wait a second. They recruit Breck girls at E for All.
She's expecting you. That's a great
That
photo.
Is dynamite hair.
That is the best work photo we've ever seen in the history of photos, by the way. Mm-hmm. Oh, no. I did not hit that button.
You did.
Yeah, I'm gonna start bringing a fan around me everywhere I go.
So Anne Marie,
print that
right. That's nice hair. I mean, I'm just saying, whatever fan Shelly's bringing around with her, I think you got to get one. Non-filter background is the best. See, I agree. Unless you're like in the laundry room or something for reasons no one fully understands, with cinder block background, I feel like it's okay.
And I guess Persiog was here from several days ago, but.
Oh, okay. Well, that's we'll next time. Pretty late. But we'll get somebody else who can talk about cannabis. That's
hello
we'll
in Brazil, by the way.
Good
to have you in from Brazil. We're just.
I will say before. Just a quick thing about cannabis is they now do make THC seltzer.
Hey, I feel like we just recently heard that and it went in and out. Now I feel like I got to find one of those people to come on.
That's kind of interesting. Yeah. Have you had an opportunity to taste that flavor just for science and business purposes?
I have legally tasted it. Yes.
Yeah.
It's great. The flavor is not the best, but it's good.
What do you wear with it? Right. Ensemble for that. Like your Cheech and Chong.
I have a blonde wig that matches the white can pretty well.
Oh, nice.
So is it, tell me it's not like just like weed flavored, because that would be a gross.
No, it's not. It isn't. Somebody once gave me a CBD seltzer and it tasted so bad I couldn't even finish it. But the THC one's actually not bad. It does taste like a little herbal, but it doesn't taste like weed, no.
Okay. I had a THC mojito one time, and that tasted almost like a mojito. It's like a mojito that someone knocked a spice rack into, but it was okay. It was okay.
Like a Halloween mojito. You know, they have pumpkin spice. Everything.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go back to fizzy water for one last question. Is there a preference series? Like, are you, I need fruits, or I need the citrus ones, or I need the whatever. You already said you weren't super into the seasonals per se.
You know, I know I like the seasonals usually. I just don't love the fake alcohol ones.
Oh, fake alcohol.
Honestly, I don't really like the more basic flavors like lemon or lime or cranberry. I love a good strawberry or watermelon or grapefruit.
Pomegranate.
Pomegranate's a good one.
What about when they get a little in there, like a spindrift and stuff with cucumber?
See, I don't really love when it has the juice in there like that with spindrift. Mm. I mean, I'll drink it if it's around, but I don't really buy it. I'm more of a purist of just the, like, give me some weird essence that I don't know what it is. This one's pretty good, the fruit punch. I won't lie.
Now, does it have to be fizzy? I mean, I know by definition, fizzy water has to be fizzy, but to be a beverage that you're interested in, would you try like hint water that has a little bit of flavor essence in it, but is flat? They also have fizzy.
I mean, I wouldn't buy it, but if I was at your house and you gave me some, I'd probably
throw
like
it on the ground.
Come on over. Just tell me what to wear with
bubbles.
It. Kate wants to know, what's the story behind Shelly Two Cars?
Well, her last name is Carduce. It's two and car.
Chris, you got it. A lot of people get confused by that. But yeah, back in college, some friends gave me that nickname because of my last name. You got it.
Shelly Two Cars.
But there are some people that have known me as that from social media, and they just actually think I have two cars. And I don't.
I mean,
so someday maybe I'll have a weekend cruiser.
Yeah, some people have two cars.
I highly recommend it.
Oh, that's too good. All right. Well, I have one last E for all, and then we're going to get out of here and close up the show. And my question on the E for all was, when you've been doing so much of the virtual project and all that, but you also like the idea of getting the opportunity to get connected with the people in person, what's going to change over the next couple of months for you? Like, or is 2021 pure virtual, and then we're going to roll it back to some physical events in 2022?
That's a good question. We're all trying to figure out right now. We've definitely found some efficiencies with virtual that we may end up keeping that way. But there are some events, like a pitch contest just does not work the same in a virtual environment. However, we really have to wait until we feel like putting 100 people in a room and sharing food is a safe thing to do. So even though the guidelines are shifting, hopefully by the fall or winter, we'll start having some of that. But the way that we plan ahead, like our summer classes that people have already applied for, their expectation is that it is virtual. So we're a little slow to transition. I know some people see the guidelines changing and they're just dropping it, you know, or just shifting back. But
yeah,
let's go back, you know, really, yeah. Really thinking it through.
I didn't and, share food pre-COVID. I was like, you want some of my food? I will put a fork through your hand. This is my food. I'm not in a hurry to share food.
You know, there's just some of that stuff that none of us thought about before. You put a couple pizzas out, people grab the pizza. It was not a thing. Now I don't know.
Now yeah, that's a great question. Yeah. It's a very, just that thought, just a okay.
There's a lot of logistics.
Blowing out candles on a birthday cake, which always kind of gave me the horrors, like, to begin with, but I thought it was just me. Now I'm like, I was right all along.
Yeah.
That tradition needs to go away.
All right. Well, we have come to this part of our show where...
Oh, and here's our person of the day. Kaboom!
Boy, I had a lot of contenders today. I had so many people I wanted to give this to, but I kind of got to go with this Got Any Grapes business. I thought it was so perfectly timed after all the duck commentary. So
that's was that one. Kat's first comment, too? She likes to wait until it's like the time is just right.
She's got the most insane
snipe
timing.
In. It's perfect.
She's got insane timing. So person of the day, we are going to, if you, jeez Louise.
Not mine, Kat.
Watch for a fork. We're going to do some rally coins for the person of the day. So you can get the backpack coin, which is down to an incredible $1.20 because rally itself is only at 50 cents. Thanks, internet. So all you need to do is give Carrie your rally ID and you will get some coins from the Backpack Show community for the person of the day. I hit Why that are button you again.
That button.
I have not hit that
you
button.
You just like, love looking at your face squished and really squished. Tiny next to everybody else's. It's so. like a technological selfie with multiple people. So I need your rally ID, Kat, and I'll send you some cold hard cash in the form of Backpack Coin.
Right. Not really.
Gluten-free Oreos. Oh, you poor sweet thing. You can have them. You can have them. I won't fight you for those.
I'm going to hit a button right now called What Goes Into Your Backpack? And this is a question that you can ask friends and strangers if you want. What goes in your backpack? The whole idea is that the crazy ground is shifting beneath us. It's still not so certain. Just like we just asked Shelly, what's coming on in the next couple of years? I don't know. So what goes in your backpack to help us with success for the next few years, Shelly Carduce? It's going to be either something physical or something metaphorical. So for example, Carrie, what's a good physical thing you can chuck in a backpack?
Extra set of teeth.
An extra set of teeth. Macho Man Randy Savage fan and also mashup expert DJ Cummerbund added an extra set of teeth. What is something maybe metaphorical you can add to the backpack?
Wait, do I just have to come up with one? I thought I could have a few.
Well, one or two tops. If you get too crazy, then we hang up on you. Carrie, give me one more metaphorical, and then we'll ask Shelly.
Kindness, maybe?
That's a good one. I like that one, too. Shelly Cardies, what's something you're going to add to the backpack? Evidently, more than one.
Well, if I had to choose one, I would say The Four Agreements. So it's a book written by Don Miguel Ruiz. And I don't always bring the physical book with me, but I do bring those concepts with me fairly often. And along with that, always pack some seltzer, some lipstick, some sunglasses.
I like the plan. Sounds like a plan. Hey, look, Deanna's here at just the right time.
And Kate's having dinner.
Sharp cheddar cheese and grapes so far. That's a good look. I think we helped with that process.
That's so, actually like probably one of my favorite meals.
Cheese and grapes?
Yeah.
What are you, Roman?
I am lazy, as I like to call it.
Well, my grandmother technical was term. An incredible cook, my grandmother was. And so what would she would expect to make on a dinner like tonight? She would have a couple different dishes out. The first thing you get on the table, though, for sure, would be some sliced up cucumbers, a little bit of vinegar, a little bit of pepper on those. And then the next thing she'd serve you.
Hamburger helper, really?